reading is found in Genesis 1, 24 through 31. God said, "Let the earth produce every kind of living thing, livestock, crawling things, and wildlife." And that's what happened. God made every kind of wildlife, every kind of livestock, and every kind of creature that crawls on the ground. God saw how good it was. Then God said, "Let us make humanity in our image to resemble us so that they may take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and all the crawling things on earth." God created humanity in God's own image. In the divine image, God created them. Male and female, God created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fertile and multiply, fill the earth and master it. Take charge of the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and everything crawling on the ground." Then God said, "I now give to you all the plants on the earth that yield seeds, and all the trees whose fruit produces its seeds within it. These will be your food. To all wildlife, to all the birds in the sky, and to everything crawling on the ground, to everything that breathes, I give all the green grasses for food." And that's what happened. God saw everything he had made. It was supremely good. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jean. Thank you, choir. I know you're all sitting out there saying, "I just want to applaud. It just is so good." So what I want to do right now is I want to focus our attention on applauding to God and saying, "Thank you, God, for allowing these people to bring such gifts and serve with us." All right, let's do that. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Because we love the music that is brought with the choir. I know you're all feeling constrained there. Amen and hallelujah. Shout it out. It works well, right? Thank you to
Hallelujah.
Thank you to our technologists and all those who help bring Sunday morning to us. And do we have Ava here today? Yes. Ava, will you stand up for a moment? Our new admin is with us. Ava there towards the back. So when we leave this place, make sure you go and welcome her and say, "We're so glad you're here," because we're so glad you're here, Ava. And Jack, praying for your leg there too. Let's pray. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, that they might be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are our rock, our redeemer. Amen. Well, we continue in our sermon series, Welcome Home, and so welcome home, everybody. And today we are thinking about purpose, our purpose. And let's just tell the truth that sometimes when we talk about our purpose, it feels like we're asking a question or thinking about something that may have an answer that's so hard, slippery to find, so much bigger is the question than we can imagine. And we look around and we see a world filled with confusion about what it means to live well, to live meaningfully, to care for one another, to care for the planet, to vote well. We live in a time filled with confusion. And some days it feels as though the entire world is asking us, "Why are we here?" And the answers that we come up with or try to give can seem so far from satisfying, so far from exact. But Genesis, which is a story of all great beginnings, it offers us a word to hold on to. It offers us a truth that is as ancient as creation itself. Genesis tells us that you and I and every person you will ever meet were made in the image of God. Every one made in the image of God. Now, part of me just wants to stop there and let us sit with that a long time. To just turn that over in your minds and feel the weight of that and let it sink in. You are made, created, birthed in the image of God. Wow. But then, immediately, we come up with, well, what does that really mean? Right? And I suspect that's why we all come together on Sundays and all the other times we come together at all, that we're trying to figure out how to connect that image of God, that likeness of God, with our daily lives and with the work that we do and the relationships that we tend to and the joys and sorrows that fill our day. How does all of that be the image of God? Now, first, I want us to acknowledge something, that when we ask about our purpose, it's so often because we feel disoriented. And we're looking for a direction. We're looking for a compass, something that tells us we're on the right path. And that sense of direction is tied to an even deeper need to feel like we belong. And I think the book of Genesis understands that longing to belong, to matter, to make a difference, to have a purpose. I think Genesis speaks of that far more than we can understand. Because to be made in the image of God is to be created with inherent belonging. We are from God. We bear God's likeness, like children that resemble their parents. And so our purpose doesn't begin with anything that we do. It begins with something that is true about who we already are, about who you already are. You are a reflection, though imperfect and clouded at times, of the one who made the stars and the seas and set it all into motion. We belong to that creative, loving, life-giving force, and nothing can take that away from us. But Genesis doesn't leave it there. Right? The story unfolds with this kind of divine delight, and God makes humans in God's own image. And then what does God say? God blesses them. God commands them to fill the earth and to subdue it, to have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every living thing. In other words, God sends us forth to be part of the work of creation, to share with God's work in creation. That's some purpose, my friends. Not some grand abstract notion, but a day-to-day call to live in a way that reflects the heart of God. Now, we need to be careful with words like dominion, because we've kind of messed up what that means over time. I just saw Yvonne Raleigh in the house, and I'm so glad to see you, Yvonne. God bless you. Talking about the image of God, and I just saw Yvonne there. But back to the word dominion, right? Because we kind of mess words up over time, right? Genesis does not tell us to dominate anything or to exploit anything, but to care for the world as God cares for us. Our purpose is not about control, but stewardship, about participating in God's ongoing creation with tenderness, with attentiveness, with love, with care. So when we talk about living out our purpose, that's where we begin. Right there is where we begin. It's not about climbing some ladder of success or achievement, as much as we love to do that in the Western world. It's about looking at the world, this beautiful and broken and complicated, messed up world and asking ourselves, how can I, one made in the image of God, how can I reflect that image right here, right now? So to live out your purpose as a caretaker is part of what we're here to do. It's to see the divine spark in yourself first, and then in others, in the people you love and the people that you struggle to love, to see the divine spark in all that lives and breathes and moves and has life. It's to look around at the vastness of creation, at the oceans and the trees and all the creatures crawling on the ground, and realize that your purpose is bound up with their flourishing. And we understand in a mighty way the power of God, the power of God's creation, when we have hurricanes and earthquakes and fires and things that happen beyond our control. And in a moment in time, it seems like so much is broken and damaged and destroyed, and then new life, always new life. But our purpose is also about relationship, because Genesis says that God created humans in God's image. And notice that God did not make solitary beings. We are, from the very beginning, made for one another, made for community, made for relationship. And so our purpose is not some sort of individualistic pursuit. It's something that we discover together in relationship, in the give and take of this life lived in communion with others. And when we forget that, we lose something essential about what it means to reflect the image of God, the relationship of God. So if you're sitting here today wondering what your purpose is, I want to remind you that it is already woven into the fabric of who you are. You are an image bearer of the divine. You are. And your purpose is to mirror God's care, God's creativity, and God's compassion into this world. Now, it doesn't have to be loud or grand that you do that, because it's often in the small things we do, those small ways that we interact, the way you speak to your neighbor, the way you tend to your family, the way you treat a stranger. We see the image of God shine through in so many great ways there. But Genesis gives us a profound sense of dignity and responsibility. It calls us not just to find our purpose, but to live it with intentionality and grace. It reminds us that our purpose is to reflect the God who made us and to reflect that image in everything we do, no matter how difficult it may be, no matter how much we feel like we need to be righteous about something, but to reflect that creative care and compassion of God's. And we do it as individuals, and we do it as a people, as this body of Christ. So way back, as the law was given to God's people in Deuteronomy 14, it says, "You are a people holy to the Lord your God. It is you the Lord has chosen out of all the peoples on the earth to be God's people, God's treasured possession." And we, as heirs of all of that initiation with God's people, we too are chosen to be God's people. And then scripture goes further. And in the epistles in the New Testament, in 1 Peter, we read, "You are a chosen people, you following Christ, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the excellence of God who called you out of darkness into God's marvelous light." That's some purpose, to be people who can see the darkness, recognize it, and know you are called to step out of it into light, bringing light. Now that's to be a particular people. And so our combined purpose, and I'm going to list out six things here, our combined purpose is to be a community of praise, community that sings in a world of doubt, in hurt and skepticism. 2, to be a community of truth. To be a community of truth in a world that has become so blended in all the things we think, as though there is no truth to find. To be a selfless people. Selfless, putting others first. And to be 4, a community that lives out the gospel in public life. That we are walking mirrors of God, of the gospel in public life. And 5, to be a community committed to mutual responsibility in a world that is filled with individualism. That we reach together in relationship first above our individual needs. And 6, we are a community of hope, always, especially when things seem hopeless. A community of hope, always, in the image of God and what God sees in God's creation. So before we finish here, and I will in just a minute, let's be a little more specific and maybe take some of this with you to consider in the hours left in the day ahead or the days left in the week ahead. The way to determine your purpose is to ask and answer these following questions as if they are asked of you by God, with God sitting in front of you listening to your answer. Okay, so God's going to ask you these questions, and God's very kindly sitting and listening for your answers. What is the center of your life? 2, what is the character of your life? When other people talk about you, what is your character? 3, what is the contribution of your life? Doesn't matter whether you're paid for it or unpaid, it's not just about selfless service there. What is the contribution of your life in the world? 5, what is the story of your life? What is the communication of your life? And 5, what is the community surrounding you in your life? What is the community, the people of your life? And on this Communion Sunday, we are required to remember that the community of our lives is none other than the people of God's world, all of them. That we remember that we sit at a table with people so unlike us from cultures and situations that we can hardly imagine. And as Reverend Linda Lovely said, until everybody's sitting at that table, it's not time to eat yet. Because Jesus has opened the door to all of them all at one time. All those people bearing the image of God in very different ways. Now here's the secret. When we live with that kind of attention and that kind of love, we discover that our purpose is not a destination. It's not a box to check and a something, oh, now I know. It is the journey of our lives. The journey we walk through as we bear the image of God about us all the time, day by day, moment by moment. Friends, my prayer is that you have the courage to live into your purpose, and that we, as this body of Christ, have the incredible courage to find that and speak that and be that boldly. People who are made and show the image of God. All God's people said, amen.